Okay, Winch. Winch, are you ready to record? Winch, you there? Mate? Where are you? Message from Winch. Sorry, mate, I can't make it. Hello ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the latest episode of Since You Watched. I'm Yehuda Fink.
And I'm Aaron Winch. We're here to discuss the best and worst shows available on Netflix. Each week we'll dive into another series and give you our honest opinion.
Is it a binge-worthy box set or a massive waste of time? Tune in each week to find out what we're watching.
Episodes released each Tuesday. Don't forget to like, subscribe and leave us a cheeky comment.
So let's get into it. Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is a strange one. Usually, you'd like to hear the dulcet tones of certain Mr. Winch along with myself. However, Mr. Winch has decided to emigrate from this country and therefore has been unable to record. And so in this case, I'm going to have to go this solo. We were supposed to be reviewing The Stranger, which is on Netflix, a Harlan Coben show, but I guess we'll do that next week. And I did say last week that we would be back after a little hiatus, and also shout out to our giveaway winner, Kayla Rimon, for the day that we didn't have an episode. Hope you your t-shirt is on the way, and we look forward to more giveaways. However, I'm going to have to do something a little bit different, because we promised an episode, and an episode is what you will get. So seeing as Winch has decided to go to literally the other side of the world, to Australia, and, go international, I thought that maybe I'll delve into a few of the best international films that are on Netflix and on other platforms. I've mentioned in previous episodes that I'm a big, big fan of international films, foreign films. I really love foreign films. Money Heist is an example of a TV series, which I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan of Israeli shows. I've seen lots of different Asian shows as well, which I think there's loads of wonderful art and talent worldwide. We shouldn't just restrict ourselves to, you know, Hollywood, UK-based, American stuff, which is obviously still great, but there's still so many amazing talent and stories to be told around the world. So I think I'll go through my top five films that you can find on Netflix. Just give you a little bit idea of the plot and what I thought of it. And and then hopefully next week we'll have Winch back, although we're going to have to be recording a very odd time. We'll be morning for one and night for the other. And this is how it's going to be for the rest, for the future of this show. Don't worry, we're not planning on shutting down this show just because Winch has decided to, you know, fly to the other side of the world and live there for an indefinite period of time. We are very, very committed to trying our best to ensure that we provide a weekly episode for you, even though we didn't give you one last week. We're hoping to record one every week and release it to you all. So please don't despair, because Mr. Winch is going to the other side of the world. I'm still here in the UK, we are going to do our very best to ensure that we still provide you the best of what's on Netflix. And since you watched that, then you should watch something else. So, it's just me, my voice. So, sit back, relax, pour yourself a glass of wine. Some of my friends who might be listening to this are going to be absolutely creasing. This is very, very strange. But I hope that I can give you a few tips. I might, and I'll give you some thoughts on the best foreign films you can find on Netflix. So, starting at number five. And number five is a film called Maktoub. Maktoub is an Israeli comedy released in 2017. And the concept is about two gangsters, one called Steve, one called Huma. And they are sort of hitmen or sort of heavies for a gangster. And then one day they visit a restaurant in Jerusalem and there's a big terrorist attack that kills everyone at the restaurant but them. And this near-death experience makes these two, you know, criminals and quite nasty men rethink their life, reevaluate what they're doing for a living. And they want to, instead of, you know, beating people up and doing bad things, they want to help people. So what they do is that they go to the Kotel, which is known as the Wailing Wall or the Western Wall in English. It's a wall in the old city of Jerusalem, which is very, very precious and holy to the Jewish religion. This is the nearest point of access, a real point of prayer that Jews today have to what they call the Holy of Holies. And it's a very, very famous location, religiously, and loads of people around the world, Jewish or not, they go and pray there. And one of the most famous and iconic things about the Western Wall is that people write little prayers or requests or wishes in a little note. They fold up that note and they stick it into the ancient wall, into the ancient bricks. And what these two guys do, Steve and Huma, they're at the wall praying and etc., where they're having an idea that they're going to start reading the wishes and prayers that people put into the wall, and decide that instead of waiting for God to just answer them, that they'll fulfill these people's wishes and try and make their lives better. And obviously, you know, their past lives start to catch up with them, etc. And it's funny. There's a bit of, you know, slapstick action. It's a really, really good film. And it's got an interesting message. I really enjoyed it. The two main guys are Steve and Huma. They're excellent. And also, one of the characters is a guy called El Kassasi. And he is played by Itzik Cohen, who many would be familiar as Captain Ayub from Fauda. Captain Ayub is one of the main characters of Fauda, and Itzik Cohen plays his role fantastically well, very popular, and he plays the lead gangster in this film, and he's actually very, very funny in it, in the way that he deals with it. So he's a good supporting role. I thoroughly enjoyed it. It's quite an easy watch for a foreign film, even though if you don't speak the language, which is in modern Hebrew, obviously put the subtitles on. It was relatively easy watch, quite a straightforward plot, and it's quite fun. It's got it's a nice cute sort of message within it. So that's Maktoub, 2017 Israeli film comedy on Netflix. And let's move on. Number four is a film called The Photographer of Mathausen. It's a Spanish film released in 2018. It's more considered a biography, drama. It's quite, to some extent, accurate, telling the story of a photographer, Francisco Bois, during his life in the Mauthausen Gusen concentration camp. Mauthausen is in Austria, and it was a Nazi concentration camp during the Second World War, and I actually visited this location a couple of years ago. I was passing by with a couple of friends. We were sort of on a road trip, and it's actually when we talk about it, we say that we drank loads of beer and we visited loads of Nazi concentration camps, because on our drive through we passed Theresienstadt, which is in Prague. We passed Mauthausen, which is in Austria, and we went through Dachau, which is in Germany, near Munich. So I've never done what was supposed to be just, you know, a fun sort of road trip. And, you know, I'm quite interested in the Holocaust being Jewish, and also just sort of want to learn more and more. I went to see Mauthausen, and Mauthausen is one of the sort of lesser known concentration camps, because, you know, you've got places like Auschwitz and Treblinka, which have captured, you know, the iconic sort of stories, more Mad Thousand seems to sometimes be forgotten in a way. It's still very, there's still a lot there. There's an incredible memorial garden as you go in, where I think many countries around the world have had a designer create a memorial about Mad Thousand. And Mad Thousand wasn't just a place to house Jews, it housed obviously gypsies, homosexuals, what the Nazis considered undesirables, but also they actually had a lot of soldiers, Austrian soldiers, Spanish soldiers, who were fighting against the Nazis, and they were actually, a lot of them were put in Mad Thousand. And one of the what this story is about this man, a Spanish Civil War veteran. His name is Francisco Bois. He was a prisoner in Mad Thousand. And what he did is that he preserved, took photographs, hid them about the conditions of the camp so that he could, you know, tell the story and provide evidence of these atrocities, because people obviously weren't really aware what was going on during the Second World War. So this man, along with other prisoners, shows how they risked their lives to save these pictures so they could release them in the future. It's an absolutely incredibly well-told story. It's in Spanish. And as Holocaust films go, it's one of the really better ones. There's a lot of fantastic Holocaust art in the movies, but I watched this film after going to visit Mad Thousand myself. And it tells a story about Mad Thousand. One of the iconic things about Mad Thousand is that it was above sort of like a creek and sort of a ravine kind of situation. And they had a huge set of stairs really that went from the top of the sort of mountain area, went down the cliff sort of all the way. And what they would make the prisoners do is that they would have to carry these sort of heavy, heavy rocks up and down these stairs. And many, many prisoners died due to the absolute insane hardship of climbing up and down these torturous stairs. So they show some elements of that story. It's really, really great. It shows you, you know, how the Nazis treated and favoured different soldiers and different prisoners, and how women were treated in Mad Thousand. I was blown away by the acting. I was blown away by the story. As someone who I feel that I've read a lot about the Holocaust and seen a lot, I learned a lot from this film, and it intrigued me a lot more to look into Mad Thousand and what happened there. So I strongly encourage you. It's not a fun film. It's a serious drama, and as most Holocaust films are, you know, they don't usually have a happy ending. But this is a true story, and it shows you know, the incredible sacrifice that many people went through to just preserve what and tell what happened to the rest of the world. So that's Photographer Mad Thousand, in a 2018 Spanish film on Netflix. So let's move on to number three. And number three is a series of films. I couldn't really pick one out exactly. Maybe when I finish speaking about them, I'll try and pick my favourite one out of them. But it's the Ip Man series. Ip Man is a film loosely based on the life events of the Wing Chun master of the same name, Ip Man. Ip Man is credited as being the martial arts teacher of Bruce Lee. And this film was first released in 2008 under the name Ip Man, and it tells the story of Ip Man when he was younger and how he ran his martial arts school, and he had his own philosophy on fighting. It's called Wing Chun, which is I'm not a martial arts expert at all, but it's using a lot of your fists very, very quickly and very directly, moving your body very quickly and closely to your opponent. Ip Man is played by Donnie Yen, and he's in all four of the films. There were four films that were made, the first one in 2008 and the final installment, Ip Man 4, the finale in 2019. And in between them was the Ip Man 2, which is 2010, Ip Man 3 is 2015. There's also a spin-off, which is okay. It's called Master Z Ip Man Legacy, which is in 2018, but it's not really necessarily crucial to this storyline. And it sort of shows different stories. So Ip Man in 2008 is setting around the pre World War One pre-World War II, where the hostilities between Japan and China, and it shows how Ip Man sort of fought for freedom and fighting the Japanese, who looked down on the Chinese kung fu, Wing Chun art of martial arts. Ip Man 2 is also a great film, and it shows Ip Man fighting for the respect and legacy of kung fu when a young British boxer comes over with the empire and basically challenges all the kung fu masters. That's a great story. Ip Man 3 is more about the Ip Man sort of community being threatened, and there is a small role played by Mike Tyson, but there is an absolutely brilliant fight scene between Mike Tyson and Donnie Yen in Ip Man 3. Just worth watching that film for that scene. It's also, for me, Ip Man 3 has got one of the most heartbreaking endings. I thought the acting for it is incredible, so definitely do watch it. Ip Man 4 was also fantastic. I really enjoyed it, considering it wasn't... it's not easy to make a fourth installment, especially when you're not necessarily planning for it. I absolutely loved all the Ip Man films. I'm a bit torn. I think I'd go for Ip Man 2. I loved Ip Man 2. It was a bit silly in some ways, but I just thought the storyline, the action is incredible. All the films have fantastic action. Donnie Yen is brilliant. He is a brilliant actor, but he's particularly special in this. And there's a few throwaway nods to Bruce Lee, and Bruce Lee's actually got a bit of a role. Someone plays Bruce Lee in Ip Man 4, and I thoroughly enjoyed all of them. They're all on Netflix. I think they're all in Cantonese. And it's really, really great. It looks at the different areas of racial discrimination, of belonging to a society, of respecting people's heritage and legacies, and looking to the future, the resistance between new and old generations. And I thoroughly enjoyed every single one of them. So check that out. Ip Man film series with Donnie Yen. First one in 2008, and then subsequently three more. Ip Man 2, Ip Man 3, and Ip Man 4, the finale. All on Netflix, and I think you will definitely enjoy them. I know I did, so do check them out. And let's look to number two. Number two is a film called Pan's Labyrinth, and I think many people will have heard of this. It's a very famous film. Came out in 2006. It's a Spanish-Mexican dark fantasy film directed by the legendary Guillermo del Toro. I didn't recognize anyone acting wise in this film, and this is a bit of sort of like a dark fairy tale taking place during World War II, but I think the context is more the Spanish Civil War. And it's about a girl who is living with her cruel stepfather, who is with a phalangist, and he hunts Spanish maquis who fight against the dictatorship in Spain. This girl Ophelia, her mother, she has to see her mother go pregnant and become ill, and then the story that goes on amongst her Ophelia, her stepfather, and her mother is linked to this sort of crazy sort of fantasy story that Ophelia goes through, where she comes across different mythological magical creatures who give her through different trials of the old labyrinth garden. It's got some iconic scenes. You may have seen pictures to do with it. It's an absolutely brilliant film. I absolutely loved it. I've seen it twice, and just the cinematography, the acting, the storylines. I don't want to talk too much about it because I don't want to give it away, but it is not just one of the best international films I've ever seen, it's one of the best films I've ever seen. Guillermo del Toro is a fantastic, fantastic director, who maybe at times doesn't get the credit he deserves. He's a superb visionary when it comes to films. And, you know, this story it doesn't get boring at all. I thoroughly enjoyed it the whole way. And it's a great, great story. So Pan's Labyrinth is, last I checked, was still on Netflix. I really, really do encourage you to watch that in Spanish with the subtitles. Don't watch any film, I would suggest, with an English dub, unless you really can't stand the subtitles. I always think it's the best thing is to watch a film in its authentic language. And Pan's Labyrinth is that. I think Spanish, and I've spoken about this in a previous episode, Spanish is a beautiful, beautiful language. And it'd be a shame to waste it by, you know, dubbing it over with the English speakers' audio. So Pan's Labyrinth, 2006 film, that was my number two. And for my number one, it's a film that I watched quite a while ago. It's a film called City of God. And City of God is also listed in one of the top 50 films that you should watch before you die. And The City of God is a Brazilian film in 2002. Co-directed by Fernando Meirelles and Katia Lund. And it tells the story of two boys growing up in the slums in Brazil who get caught up in the different crimes in the crime world of Brazil. And it's a very brutal, brilliant film. One boy, it tells the story of two boys, one known as Rocket and the other one who becomes who's known as Lil Z. One who wants to become a photographer, a nice, quiet, honest boy, and who wants to try and avoid himself getting involved in the gang wars, and his and the other boy, Lil Z, who is a bit of a sociopath, who enjoys power, who enjoys killing people, who very much throws himself into the crime world going on in Brazil. And it's loosely based on real events, looking at organized crimes in Rio de Janeiro, and setting around between the 60s and 80s. The acting's brilliant, the storyline is superb. It just tells two stories kind of at the same time, and they interlink along the way the whole time. And it is one of the best ones as well that I've ever seen. Again, I don't want to talk too much about it, but I'm sure we've all seen lots of films about young people getting caught up in crime as sort of apprentices, and then they grow up and they become the leaders of that. But I think this is quite a special one because it shows someone who's really resisting it and really trying their best to resist it and follow their own talented passion. And it feels very real whenever you watch it. It's a really, really great film. It's a very violent film, but it's a very, very popular film. It was released at the Cannes Film Festival, and it's become sort of a bit of a classic in international film sort of lists. And I would definitely say that of all the international films that you should ever watch, if you watch one film in a foreign language, you should watch this film called City of God in Portuguese. It keeps coming on and off of Netflix. I'm not sure if it's on right now, but do keep your eyes out for it because it's a brilliant, brilliant film. That rounds off my top five of best international films that I've seen that I've enjoyed on Netflix. There's loads of other films on Netflix that are international films that I haven't given credit. I haven't obviously given credit to Roma, which has won an Oscar. There's also The Resistance Banker, which is a Dutch film about World War II. There's also First They Killed My Father, which is an Angelina Jolie directed film. There's loads and loads of films on Netflix. I'll give a few shout outs to some films which are not on Netflix though that I think are really worth watching. Firstly, there's Train to Busan, which is one of the best ones I've ever seen. It's a Korean film. It's a zombie film, which is interesting to think about it. It's a sort of a zombie epidemic crisis in South Korea, and it tells the story of a man trying to get his daughter on a train to Busan, which is a city in South Korea, and the train gets taken over by zombies, and it's about a fight for survival. If you don't like zombie films, don't watch it, but if you don't mind them or enjoy them, definitely do watch it. It's a sensational film. It's quite a simple storyline, but it's really great. I think it's the best sort of zombie film I've ever seen. I would also strongly recommend a film called Live and Become, which original language in Hebrew is called Tichye V'tiyeh. It's called Live and Become. It tells the story of a young Ethiopian boy who is Christian but pretends to be Jewish so that he can get out of his refugee camp near Sudan so that he can get to Israel, which it's a fictional story, but it's based around true events of the refugees from Ethiopia, high numbers of Jewish immigration in the 70s and 80s of Ethiopian Jews who were brought over from Africa into Israel to become citizens, and he is not Jewish, but he has to pretend to be Jewish his whole life, and he sort of experiences how that, you know, the Jewish Ethiopian experience in Israel, and how they were integrated into society, and all the struggles and all the good things that went around, and you know, it shows how he finds a new family and falls in love. And it's a brilliant, brilliant film. It's in Hebrew, in English, and in French. I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoy it. I actually show it a lot to my pupils at school. I think it's that good a film. And it tells a, you know, it tells, obviously, as the film, I've said, as the film is fictional, a lot of the things, a lot of the context around it are true. And I think it's really great. So Live and Become, or Tichye V'tiyeh in Ivrit. And also talking about the Israeli film, I had to talk about Waltz with Bashir, which got, I think, you know, Oscar nominations. I think even won an Oscar for Best Foreign Film. It came out in, I think, 2008. And it's an animated film. It tells a story of, based on true story, of soldiers recounting their events and their experiences during the 1982 Lebanon War, when Israel went into Lebanon to try and push out the terrorist organizations. And obviously it was not a war that went well for either side. And there were some real atrocities committed, and it tells a story of some soldiers sort of recounting some of the awful things that they saw, that they did, that were done to them. It's a brilliant, brilliant film. You need to have a bit of an idea about what's going on in Israel when you watch it, please, and don't just make judgments about one side over the other. It doesn't necessarily make Israel out to be, you know, awful. You know, it says, you know, soldiers are soldiers regardless of where they come from, and some soldiers do bad things, some soldiers do good things. I think it's a great film. I've seen it a few times. It's a hard film to watch, particularly if you're Israeli or Lebanese, and I do highly recommend it. It has come onto Netflix every once in a while, but I haven't seen it on there in a while. I also give a shout out to Operation Thunderbolt, which I talked about before. I won't go into too much, but just a reminder, it's a film that came out in 1976, a few months after the true story of the Entebbe hostage situation, where the Israeli army went to save Jews and Israelis who were kidnapped in a hijacking by German and Palestinian terrorists. And it shows a daring raid of how they managed to try and save them. So I've talked about that in a previous episode. That was the Fowler, I think it was, might have been the Fowler episode, I'm not sure which one, but it's in the previous episode. I went into a lot more detail about it. Moving along, I'd go to The Raid, both one and The Raid 2. It's an Indonesian film, both Indonesian films. Brilliant, brilliant. Actually, if you like martial arts films, this is one of the best ones you'll ever watch. The first film, The Raid, is simply about a team of tactical police soldiers. I don't know, they're not really just officers. I think they are soldiers who are called in by the police to try and tackle and deal with this huge block of flats where there are loads of criminals going there. So they take them level by level. It's a great, great action movie. And The Raid 2 is the protagonist, not long after the events of the first film, being sent to an undercover operation to try and root out the crime in Indonesia. It's a brilliant, brilliant film. I loved it. I won't talk too much about it. But if you like action movies, it's got some of the best action martial arts scenes I've ever seen in a film. It's absolutely brilliant. And the last couple were also East Asian films. One is called Battle Royale, which is a Japanese film, I think. And it tells, it's a bit of a dystopian sort of story where there's an issue in Japan where they have too many of the, you know, the younger generation are very disobedient and very disrespectful to the older generation, and there's no sort of law and order, and they're worried about them. So what they do is that they take a group every year of teenagers and they basically make them fight to the death on an island. It's called Battle Royale. It is a screwed up concept, but it's a brilliant film. It's quite noted. It's a bit like The Hunger Games, but more brutal. So you may want to watch that if that's your kind of thing. And finally, the last one, in America, in the American version, it's called The Protector, but in In Thailand, it's called Tom Yom Gung. It's got the legendary Tony Yah, who's one of the greatest martial arts actors of all time, and it tells the story of a boy who comes to a man who has a relationship, this strong relationship with an elephant, who was sort of his pet, and the elephant is eventually kidnapped, and he goes to try and save that elephant from being slaughtered and cut up for exotic meats, and it sort of exposes the exotic meat, illegal exotic meat trade, and it's also got some of the best martial arts scenes I've ever seen. I've never seen that on Netflix. I think I've seen it on Prime before, but do keep an eye out for that. It's called The Protector or Tom Yong Gung. So that's it. That's me riding solo without Winch. I hope you I didn't bore you too much over this half an hour, and I hope you enjoyed a couple of these films if you've heard of them before, or I've convinced you to try and check out some of these films. I think, like I said at the beginning, international films, foreign films are brilliant. They should not be, you know, just ignored or whatever just because they're not in our language. And some people say, oh, I can't be bothered with the whole subtitles. It's too hard to focus. It's worth it. Some great stories to be told. And I think some of the ones that I've talked about and discussed with myself in this podcast episode are really great. And I hope that you check them out. This was me, Fink, on Riding Solo Without Wunsch. Wunsch, hopefully, will be back next week. We hope to discuss what our thoughts about the Netflix original series, the limited series, The Stranger, based off Harlan Coben's book, excellent book. Give us your thoughts beforehand if you want to. Also, you know, message us on Instagram at Since You Watch Podcast for any thoughts you had about this solo episode, whether you liked it. Do you think I could go solo, you know, break off, have a little split? No, I'm joking. We want Winch back. Any foreign films that you really enjoyed that you want us to give a mention in the future. We hope to do some more giveaways and give out some of the t-shirts. Or if you want to buy one, then do come in contact with us on Instagram at Since You Watch Podcast. If you want to buy a Since You Watched t-shirt, and we will try and get that delivered to you. And yeah, we hope to see Wunsch back next Tuesday, and I hope that you will join us again next Tuesday. And we really are going to do our very best. We are very committed to ensure that this podcast still goes on, even though we are two different ends of the planet. We want to deliver our thoughts and keep this going for as long as possible. So thank you very much. Hope you have a lovely week, and I and Wunsch, we'll see you next Tuesday. Bye, everyone.